Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Mem Vav. We left off on daf Mem Hey Amid Beis toward the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arva's Wife and Children, also by Ken and Marcy Capel, in honor of the marriage on Sunday, that's today, I guess, of their daughter Anna to Dylan Cooper of Memphis, and in honor of the recent birth of their twin grandchildren, Yisrael Daniel and Leela Shena, born to their children Sam and Leora Capel. Big double, triple mazel tov to the Capel family, and we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So, as I mentioned, we left off on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, and we were in the middle of a discussion of how many of the days of Sukkot we recite a bracha on the lulavan, how many of the days of the Sukkot we recite a bracha on the sukkah, and the Gemara is going to discuss how we paskin in that issue. Then the Gemara is, once we're talking about brachos and how many times you say a bracha in the same mitzvah, we're going to talk about how many times a day a person should say a bracha on their tefillin, and we're also going to talk about the brachos on lulav kol shiva and other mitzvos midrabanan, meaning once we're talking about saying a bracha on lulav more than one day, so obviously we're talking about saying a bracha on a mitzvah midrabanan. Do we say brachos on mitzvos midrabanan? What brachos do we say on Archanuka? Why do we say brachos on mitzvos midrabanan? The Gemara is going to discuss, what if you have many mitzvos in front of you? Can you have one big catch-all bracha, or do you need a separate bracha on each and every one? Then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss how we're more capable of learning after we already learn more. That it's somewhat counterintuitive. You think once your head is full of knowledge, it's harder to fit more in there. But adrabba, the more you've learned, the more we're capable of learning. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how long Esrog and Sukkah remain muktzah for, meaning is it for 7 days, for 8 days? How long do we assume that that you're not allowed to get other hana from them because they're huktza l'mitzvasam? And then the daf is going to conclude with three different statements of Rabbi Zeira. But the first one is going to relate to an esrog that becomes pasul and whether you're allowed to eat it over the course of yant if it's already become pasul. So since it's going to talk about the isra hana from an esrog, so we mention another two statements of Rabbi Zeira as well. So again, we left off on daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. We're all the way at the last word on the page on Mem Hei Amud Beis. Meisvei, because what we just to recap what we just said is we had three different shitos. Rabbi Yudah Mer Shmuel said that a lulav shiva v'sukkah yomecha, that you say that you say a bracha on lulav all 7 days. You only say a bracha on sukkah on the first day. Rabbi Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said no, sukkah shiva, you say a bracha on sukkah all 7 days v'lulav yomecha, and you only say a bracha on lulav on the first day. And then Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan said echad zeh ve'echad zeh shiva. Either way you say a bracha, both for lulav and for sukkah, you say a bracha each and every day, all 7 days, one recites a bracha. So Rav Yosef had told us, nikot deraba barbarchana biyadeich, which Rashi understood means that at the very least, the part where he says sukkah shiva, that you say a bracha on sukkah all 7 days, you should paskin like that, because de kulam roi kai mekavasei b'sukkah. At least as far as sukkah is concerned, everyone holds that way, that you say a separate bracha on sukkah each and every day. You don't just go into the sukkah on the first day, make a bracha, and then use that bracha to carry you through the rest of Yantiv. So says Mar Meisvei, also lulav liatzmo. If a person makes a lulav for himself, he prepares a lulav for himself. Omer Baruch Shechem Kivyanu V'Giyanu Lazman Azeh. So the proper bracha that he says is a bracha of Shechiyanu. Nitalu Latzeis Po, if he takes the lulav to be Yotze with it, Omer Baruch Hashem Shem Sosivanu Al Nitivas Lulav V'Yafal Pi Shebirei Cholav Yom Rishon Chozum Varei Chol Shiva. That's the key line. That even though he said it, that's one of the key lines. Even though he said a bracha on the first day of lulav, he still says a bracha each and every day on the mitzvah of lulav. And then ha'osa sukkah liatzmo, a person makes a sukkah for himself. Omer baruch shachivenu kimyanu, he says a bracha of shachiyanu. Nichnas leishiva, he goes in to sit in the sukkah. Omer shekushon b'sosu leishiv b'sukkah. V'kivin shabirach yom rishon shuvenu mevarech. That's the second key line. That since he said a bracha on sukkah on day one, he doesn't have to say a bracha anymore on sukkah. So the Gemara says, okay, now this is a problem, because Rabbi Barbachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you say a bracha on sukkah all 7 days and on lulav only one day. And over here we have it the exact opposite. We have a brisa that says, no, sukkah only one day and lulav kol shiva. So isn't that a double stira? So kasha lulav a lulav, kasha sukkah a sukkah. It's a stira from lulav to lulav, and it's a stira from sukkah to sukkah. So it says, Bishlam lulav a lulav lo kasha. It's not a stira in lulav, I mean, meaning it's possible that both can be true, that under certain circumstances we only recite a bracha on lulav on the first day, and other circumstances we recite a bracha on lulav each of the 7 days. Kan bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam, kan bizman shein beis hamikdash kayam. When there was a beis hamikdash around and you were in the mikdash, you would recite a bracha on lulav each of the 7 days, because you only recite a bracha on the mitzvah d'oraisa. But when there's no beis hamikdash around, then the whole idea of lulav shiva is only zeichel mikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was mesakein back in daf mem aleph. We saw in the Mishnah zeichel shiva, that is zeichel the mikdash. Rather, we take lulav kol shiva. So since it's only a din midrabanan, we're only going to say we don't say a bracha on a drabanan. We're only going to say a bracha on day one, which is Daraisa, Elusukah, Asukah, Kasha. But what are you going to do about the stira in Sukkah? Sukkah is called Shiva Midaraisa wherever you are and whenever you are. So how are we going to be Miyashiv the stira? Whether you only recite a bracha on Sukkah on day one, or you recite a bracha on Sukkah all 7 days. Says Mar Tanaihi, it's not a stira, it's a machlokas. Machlokas Tanaim, Ditanya, because the Braisa tells us Tfilin calls Man Shemanichan Mivarchan Alein, Divrei Rebbe, that every single time you put on Tfilin, you should recite a bracha. You take off your Tfilin in the middle of the day, you put it back on, Mincha time, you put it on, whenever you put on tefillin, you say a new bracha. The Chacham say no. You say a bracha on tefillin in the morning before you put them on, and that's it. That carries you through the rest of the day. So we're comparing tefillin to sukkah. That just like sukkah is a mitzvah that applies straight for 7 days straight, it just happens to be you might leave for some point, you might leave at some point in the middle. So too tefillin is a mitzvah that applies all day long. You might take them off at some point during the day. So do you recite a new bracha each time you put on tefillin just because you took a break? So the same thing would be by sukkah. Do you recite a bracha each time you go in sukkah just because you took a break? Say it, Mar Abayi Amar Hilchsa Karebi, Varava Amar Hilchsa Karabanan. Abayi says we pass on like Rebbe, who says that you do say a bracha every time you put on tefillin, and Rava says we pass on like the Rabbanan, that you only say a bracha on tefillin once in the morning. Amar of Mari Brad Bashmuel, even though Rava paskined like the Rabbanan, who said that you only say a bracha once in the morning, we know that Rava didn't follow his own advice, he didn't follow his own psak. We would see that Rava would wake up and he'd go to the bathroom and he'd wash his hands and then he'd put on tefillin and he'd say a bracha. And when he needed another time to go to the bathroom, obviously he took off his tefillin to go to the bathroom. He came out, he washed his hands, umanach tefillin, and he put on tefillin, umvarech, and he said another bracha. And therefore, we also follow the shita of Rebbe, who says that you say a bracha each time you put on tefillin, and therefore, how that carries over to sukkah is that you say a bracha each day in the sukkah. You don't say just cover it with one bracha. Amar marzutra chazina leder apapi dekalemas demanach tefillin mevarech rabban debe ravashi kalemas demeshamshi bumvarchi. We saw that by Rav Papi, every time he would put on tefillin, he'd say a bracha aligned with what we're saying now, that you'd say a bracha on sukkah each and every day, and you say a bracha on tefillin each and every time you put on tefillin. And the Rabbanan Debei Rav Ashi did even more. They would say a bracha every time they were memashvish with tefillin. The halacha is you're not allowed to be masiach das from the tefillin. The Gemara darshins in the first parak of Maseches Yuma that we learn from the tzitz, that if the tzitz, which only has one Shem Hashem in it, so it's not nearly as holy as tefillin, and nevertheless you're not allowed to be masiach das from the tzitz, so kal v'chomer tefillin, a person is not allowed to be masiach das from. So every time they'd be memashvish with tefillin, they would recite a bracha. So there is so much over here. There's so much to discuss. But one just basic halachic point is this true that every time a person takes off their tefillin and puts it back on, that a person recites a bracha? Now the Gemara was talking about a case where people were wearing tefillin all day, so they might take off the tefillin at some point in the middle of the day. But it happens for us also, even though we only wear tefillin during shacharis. A person has to go to the bathroom in the middle of shacharis, so he goes out and uses the restroom, and he comes back, he puts his tefillin back on. Do you recite a new bracha when you put the tefillin back on? So the Magen Avraham in Simul Chaf Hei quotes from the Bach and from the Darkei Moshe that when you go out to the bathroom, you have to say a new bracha, because during the time you're in the bathroom, it's asur lahaniach tefillin. Meaning, if you went out to take a drink or something or whatever reason, you just took off your tefillin, but there, you weren't doing anything that would have prevented you from wearing tefillin, then you would not recite a new bracha. But if you're going to the bathroom. You're not allowed to wear tefillin in the bathroom. So since it was asr during that time, that's a real hefsik, and therefore it's considered it's a hefsik between the original bracha and the tefillin and the hanacha that you're doing right now. So that's why you have to say a new bracha. Magen Avraham though himself is not sure about that. He says, no, maybe you don't have to be worried about a hefsik that comes about because of a zman of isr hanacha tefillin. You know, when you're in the Beis Hakise, it could be the fact that Rava said a bracha on tefillin in our Gemara when he went to the bathroom, then he put on his tefillin again. It could be that's because in those times, where was the Beis Hakise? It was at a great distance. You know, it was somewhere outside of the city. They had some outhouse somewhere. So it could be it was just too much time that he went without tefillin on. But if you take off your tefillin for 2 minutes and you go to the bathroom, it's right outside the door of the shul, and there's a bathroom in every shul building. You come right back in and you put your tefillin on, and the whole thing is 2-3 minutes. So maybe in such a case, you would not have to recite a new bracha. So Magen Avraham is not sure. See, even though he quotes from the Darkei Moshe and the Bach that say that it's your presence in the bathroom creates a hefsek that you would have to say a bracha, Magen Avraham says he's not convinced about that. He thinks that maybe it's only in those days, but nowadays it wouldn't be the case because it's really about the hefsek zman. It's not about your presence in the Beis Hakise. So Rav Vosner writes in Shevet HaLevi, and Sfasemis already discusses this question a little bit, but Rav Vosner says in Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Tes that maybe we have a raya from our sugya to the Magen Avraham, because in our sugya we compare the hefsek of tefillin by going to the Beis Hakise to yeshiva besukah each and every day, to saying a bracha yeshiva besukah each and every day. Is there anything that disqualifies you from sitting in the sukkah in between? No, clearly it's just about a hefsek zman. It's just about the fact that you leave the sukkah at some point and you're coming back. So how's that comparable to tefillin? According to the Darkei Moshe in the Bach, tefillin is a totally separate issue. Tefillin is only about because you went to the Beis Hakise. You went to a place where you couldn't be wearing tefillin. So says the Shevet HaLevi, it seems to be a raya for the Magen Avraham against the Darkei Moshe and the Bach, that it's only about a hefsek zman. It's not really about being in the Beis Hakise. Apal pikein, even though our sugya certainly is mashma more like the Magen Avraham, la halacha, the poskim paskin against the Magen Avraham. Poskim hold that anytime you take off your tefillin and you go to the Beis Hakise, you do in fact say a new bracha when you put your tefillin back on. The Shabura passes this way in Simon Chaf Hei Siv Katan Mem Zayin, and he quotes the name of the Chai Adam that even if you take off your tefillin Kedei LaHafiach, just to pass gas, you have to say a new bracha because it's also LaHafiach B'Tefillin as well. Meaning he paskins fully like the Svara of the Bach and the Darkei Moshe. That's got nothing to do with how much time. How long does it take LaHafiach? It's a second, right? But nevertheless, since it's a moment of time where you could not be wearing tefillin, so you have to say a new bracha when you put it on. That's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Now, if a person takes off his tefillin and doesn't go to the bathroom, just takes off his tefillin for some period of time, so how much time is it that he has to that has to pass before you would say, okay, now that's enough time where you would in fact have to say new bracha just based on time alone? So the Rama writes in Simon Chaf Hei that normally when you take off your tefillin, you put it back on, you don't have to say a new bracha. If you didn't go to the bathroom, you don't have to say a new bracha unless you put it back on the acher zman. But poskim discuss what does that mean? What exactly is the acher zman? So the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch Harav says 2-3 hours is the acher zman. In fact, they say that there was a maisa with the Chazon Ish one time that he took off his talis in Yom Kippur, and they used to take a break, I guess, between Shacharis and Musaf, and by the time he put his talis back on, he wasn't sure if he should say a new bracha, even though it was 2.5 hours later. I don't know what minyan the Chazon Ish davened at. I would imagine the Chazon Ish was davening all day long. But anyway, there was, I guess, a 2.5 hour break between Shacharis and Musaf. Really, I don't know what was going on that Yom Kippur, but that's the Maisa that they say, that he wasn't sure. I think we generally assume that if it's more than a half hour, if it's more than, which always, our break here is always several hours, so I think we generally assume that you do recite a new bracha. That's already a significant hefsek zman that a person's going to be without a talis. Anyways, that's one issue of halacha over here. A couple of points that Tosos makes. Ha'osu sukla atzmo, we had said, the Brice had said, Mevarak Shechianu, that one recites a Shechianu when you make a sukkah. So Tosos tries to figure out which mitzvahs get a Shechianu and which mitzvahs don't get a Shechianu. So Tzorek Farish Tab, Maishna Diyesh Mitzvah Shetekinu Mevarak Shechianu, and that's Mitzvah Shlo Tekinu. Why is it some mitzvahs say we're Mesakin Shechianu, other mitzvahs not? For example, Basiya Sukkah Velulav Tekinu, Gdash Kanacha. Over here we say that when they make a sukkah, when they make a lulav, you say a Shechianu. ba'asiyas tzitzis u'tfilin, lo takinu. When you write tefillin, you tie your tzitzis, you don't say a shechianu. We see in Maseches Menachos, in Perakat Cheles, because Rabbi Yochanan says, ma'am varech ha'tfilin shal yad v'tfilin shal rosh, v'il lasa tfilin, lo mevarech. V'l'chashalei, it doesn't mention anything about osa tfilin, about osa tzitzis. It only talks about what bracha you say when you put on your tfilin, and when you put on your tzitzis. So apparently there's no shechianu in making the chefza shal mitzvah. And he says, k'moke nyesh l'dakting t'shechianu nami lo mevarech midlo chashavlo, v'chein ha'pidin ha'ben mevarech shechianu, k'disa b'sof perek arvei p'sachim. There's, on Pidyon HaBen, we do recite the Shechianu. V'ilu amila lo mevarech. Yet on Bris Mila, there's no Shechianu. And in so why would that be the case? Kriyas Megillah, yes Shechianu. And Kriyas Halal, no Shechianu. So how do we reconcile these? These are what Tosfos is setting up, are mitzvahs that are similar to each other. Kriyas Megillah, Kriyas Halal. Pidyon HaBen, Mila. Right? You would think that these mitzvahs are all similar to each other. And yet some of them get a Shechianu and some of them not. So says Tosfos V'nira, the mitzvah sheyesh aleha simcha tiknu shechianu. When a mitzvah has simcha associated with it, then they say a shechianu. Damrin ba'aroa, demvarech al kelim chadashim, kasher shir gan dlosam chin Allah, v'eskim parak b'chal marvin, debin midi dosim mizman lizman, v'kashim pidin ha-ben. It could be that you need something that comes mizman lizman as well. So there are a couple of factors. Simcha is a key factor, if there's a mitzvah that has a particular level of simcha associated with it, and also an issue of whether the mitzvah is something that's ba mizman lizman. So that's always a question. Exactly how do we assess each mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos in Perek Yud Aleph, Kol mitzvah shi mizman lezman, kigon shofar, sukkah, lulav, mikra megillah, ner chanukah, v'chein, kol mitzvah shi kinyan lo, any mitzvah that's a significant purchase, kigon tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, maka, v'chein mitzvah she'ena tedira ve'ena metzuya b'chaleis. And also a third category, mitzvahs that aren't all that common, shari domel le mitzvah shi mizman lezman, which are like a mitzvah mizman lezman, kigon milas b'no, pidin ha-ben, mevarek le b'shasas yasu shechianu. So first of all, he disagrees with Tosfos in like half the examples Tosfos gave. Tosfos said there's no shechianu on mila. The Rambam says yes, there is a shechianu on mila. So it's Svari Ashkenazi thing. And when it comes to tzitzis and tefillin, the Rambam says of course there's shechianu on tzitzis and tefillin because it's a kinyan when you buy tzitzis, when you buy tefillin. So what Tosfos is saying is that you don't make a shechianu on making the tzitzis. The beged that you put tzitzis on, it's a chashuv beged. It's a beged that you buy once in a while, and it's a chashuv beged. So you would say a shechianu on the beged, right? That for sure, but that's a separate kind of shechianu. It's not really shechianu on the mitzvah. That's what we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch on a talis gadol, you say a shechianu, not because of the tzitzis, but because of the talis. That the talis, how often do you buy a new talis? So it's something that's a beged chashuv, so you would recite a shechianu on the talis. Talis katan, you don't recite a shechianu. But midin the mitzvah, it's a discussion of the Rishonim, it seems that the standard assumption is not to recite a shechianu midin the mitzvah. So people ask me sometimes when they get tchelis for the first time. So should they say a shechianu on the tchelis? They say, buy a new talis and put it on the talis, and then you say a shechianu for sure. But if you're not buying a new talis, I don't know if that's, it's not so pashut that you can just say a shechianu on whatever mitzvah, even if you're really excited about the mitzvah personally. Remember when my niece got married at the Shabbos Shevar Brachos, she asked me right before Shabbos, she said, should I say a shechianu when I light Neir Shabbos? And this is the first time I'm doing the mitzvah of Neir Shabbos. So it's my brother's daughter. So I said, your father's right there. Ask him. What do you have to ask him? So my brother said, no way, not to say shechianu. But okay, so that's a major discussion that we have over here. When exactly does one recite a shechianu on a mitzvah? When do we not recite a shechianu on a mitzvah? Also, we said by sukkah, nichnas leishev, but you say leishev basukkah, that when the person goes to sit in the sukkah, at that point he says leishev basukkah. So Tosfos writes that every time you go to the sukkah, k'deish yochal v'yishtav yashin ba, mevarech leishev basukkah. That Tosfos writes on daf mem heyam nebeis, and divra maschal echad, that any time you go into the sukkah to eat, to drink, to sleep, you say a bracha of leishev basukkah. And even if it's 10 times in one day, just like tefillin, you say a bracha every time you put them on. Because when you want to eat, you got to eat dafka in the sukkah. So the fact that you ate previously is not going to be enough. Tosa Rush quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that the reason we don't make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah, even though sleeping is more chamer than achila, we learned back in Daf Chavav that a shena sarai is asur chutz l'sukkah and achila sarai is mutter chutz l'sukkah. Sleeping is more chamer than eating. But nevertheless, the real chava says the Tosa Rush is the Achila, and the Bracha and the Achila patters whatever comes after it, including the Shena, including going to sleep and learning and all the other things that one does in a Sukkah. It's a bit of a Chiddush. The Tosa Rush has another answer, that it could be that we can't say a Bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah, because who knows, maybe you won't be able to fall asleep. And this is what Tosas writes in Maseches Brachos as well, that you can't say a Bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah, because it might become a Bracha Levatala. You're going to try to go to sleep, you're not going to be able to fall asleep, and it's going to turn into a Bracha Levatala. So that's what the question, the Maritz Chayis raises the question, then how could it be that the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that before one goes to sleep, they recite a Bracha of Hamapil? If there's a concern that you can't say a Bracha on something that relates to sleep, because you might not be able to fall asleep, how could you say a Bracha of Hamapil? And that's a Takanas Chazal. So you'll tell me, no, I heard that some people are knowing not to say Hamapil. It says in the Gemara you say Hamapil. It says in Shulchan Aruch you say Hamapil. So obviously they were Misakin, and the whole Bracha is when you go to sleep. So, and they weren't Misakin and Bracha on sleeping in the, when you sleep in the Sukkah. So how do we reconcile those two? So Maritz Chayis suggests that Hamapil is not really going on sleep, on your sleep. Hamapil is on the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this idea of sleep that allows us to rest, and therefore it's a Birchas Shavach Vodah on sleep. It's not a Birchas Hananin on the Hana'ah of sleep. When it comes to the Bracha on sleeping, if there would have been a Bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah, the Bracha of Leishah B'Sukkah is on the act of sleeping in the Sukkah itself. That we can't say a Bracha because you don't know you're going to fall asleep. But when it's a Birchas Shavach Vodah, the most appropriate time to say it is when you're about to experience that Shavach Vodah. But the Bracha works even if you're unable to experience that Shavach Vodah. That's what the Maritz Chayis writes. It's a big nafkamina, because Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of earlier poskim that if a person says Hamapil, you shouldn't speak after Hamapil. Why can't you speak after Hamapil? Because it's going to be mafsik between the bracha and going to sleep. According to the Maritz Chayis, it's not an issue because it's Birchas Shevach Vodah. So it's not really, there's no issue of a hefsik. It's not going on the sleep itself. So that's a big machlokes poskim. A lot of the contemporary poskim side with the Maritz Chayis on this, against the Mishnah Berurah, in terms of just how careful you have to be not to speak. Another issue that comes up is the Rambam writes over here, we say that nichnas leishah b'sukkah, so you say a bracha leishah b'sukkah. The Rambam writes in the sixth paragraph of Hilchos Sukkah that you say leishah b'sukkah ba'amida. The Rambam says that you have an unusual thing on the first night of Sukkot, an unusual thing. You recite Kiddush standing up. Why do you say Kiddush standing up? Because you can say a bracha shekhar b'sukkah b'sukkah leishah b'sukkah, so you have to do it over Las Yasson. So then you sit down and you drink from the wine. But you have to say the Kiddush standing up so that it will be over Las Yasson. So a lot of the Achronim, the Rishonim already, don't understand what the Rambam is talking about. What do you mean? That's called over Las Yasson? The mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah doesn't mean, they quote B'Shem the Rabbi, the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah doesn't mean that you're sitting in the sukkah. Leishah b'sukkah means to dwell, to live in the sukkah. It's already not over Las Yasson. You're already in the sukkah by the time you're saying Kiddush. So why would you dafka say that you have to say Kiddush standing up in order that it should be over Las Yasson? A very difficult Rambam. Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi that over Las Yasson, that it's got to be a Maisa mitzvah. So sitting is a Maisa. So that would still be considered over Las Yasson. But it's mevor from that Rambam that he assumed that the default position is that you always sit for Kiddush. And that it was only, that was the exception, that only on the first night of sukkahs that one would stand for Kiddush. That's at least the Shitas HaRambam. I think Rav Shechter always quotes from Rav Schwab that there are like three or four different minhagim about sitting and standing for Kiddush, and Rav Schwab said in different times during his lifetime, no, not Rav Schwab, Rav Gifter, that Rav Gifter, Zichron Levracha, told him, Rav Shechter's mishpacha was Rav Gifter, so he said, his brother-in-law is Rav Gifter's son, so he said, he said that Rav Gifter, there were three or four different minhagim. Rav Gifter used to say throughout his lifetime, he observed all the different minhagim, that Rabbi Peleyev was his Rabbi in Rabbi Nitzar Kolchanan before he went off to Europe to Tells, and Rabbi Peleyev told him to do one thing, and then he went to Tells, and the Rav Elimer Blach, I don't know, whoever the Rosh Yeshiva was at the one of the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva said to him, what are you doing? And he said, well, this is what my Rabbi, Rabbi Peleyev said. He said, now you have a new Rabbi, you're in our Yeshiva, so now you got to do like we do. So he changed it then, and then when he came back he changed it again. So he did all the different minhagim of sitting and standing for Kiddush at different points in his life. Okay, we got to get moving over here. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yomar Shmuel, Mitzvah Lulav Kol Shavuot. The Mitzvah of Lulav is all 7 days. Meaning you say a bracha on it all 7 days. Rav Shimon Levi Yomar Yom Rishon Mitzvah Lulav Mikan Ve'elch Mitzvah Zakenim. No, only on the first day, which is Doraisa. After that is only Midrabanan, so you don't say a bracha on it. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Kol Yom Mitzvah Zakenim Afilu Yom Rishon. All of the days are Mitzvah Zakenim are only Midrabanan, even the first day. Says the Gemara, what? Va'kaim Lulav Yom Rishon Doraisa. What do you mean? The first day of Sukkot Lulav is Drabanan? No, for sure it's Doraisa. Yom Harishon. So it says Gemara, now Ema Bar Mi Yom Rishon. What we mean is all the days except for the first day are Drabanan. Ihachi Ayin Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. But then it's not three different opinions. Then you're just saying the same thing Rabbi Shua Ben Levi just said. So it says Gemara, Ema V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. You're right. Rabbi Yitzchak is in agreement with Rabbi Shua Ben Levi that only the first day is Doraisa, all the other days are Drabanan. Da'av Rav Savar Kol Shiva Mitzvah Sulav. That all 7 days, Rav holds all 7 days are Mitzvah Sulav. All 7 days are Daraisa. Not Daraisa, but all 7 days you say a bracha, even though it's all the last six are only Darabanan. Because we do say a bracha even on Mitzvah Darabanan. Because we see that if you light Ner Chanukah, you say a bracha. Rabbi Yirmi Amar Haroa Ner Shal Chanukah Tzarech Levarich. Even if you just see Ner Chanukah, a person is supposed to say a bracha. Tosa struggles with why it is that Ner Chanukah, by seeing it, you say a bracha, but you see a lulav, you see a sukkah, you don't say a bracha. Why were they misaking a birchas haroa on Ner Chanukah? And Tosa writes, it must be mishum chavivus hanes. And also he says there are a lot of people that don't have homes and they're not going to be able to light Ner Chanukah. So therefore, we want them to be able to participate in some way. But Tosa says, I prefer the first reason, that it's because of chavivus hanes. Because if it's just about the fact that people don't have homes and won't be able to do the mitzvah themselves, then everyone should say a bracha when they see a mezuzah as well. Because some people, the people don't have homes. When they see a mezuzah, it's an opportunity, it's a bracha that they don't have the opportunity to fulfill. So that's why Tosfos prefers the first interpretation, that it's chavivus hanes of Chanukah. May mevarich, what bracha do we say on Ner Chanukah? Amar Ravido Yom Rishon Amadim Varech Shalosh Haram Varech Shtayim. On the first day, if you're actually doing the mitzvah yourself, you say all three brachas, right? Amadim and Shas Nisim and Shechianu. But if you only see Ner Chanukah, so then it's only Shas Nisim and Shechianu. Mikan Be'elach Madim Varech Shtayim Varam Varech Achas. After the first day, you knock out the Shechianu, so it's just Amadim and Shas Nisim. Or if you're only Roa Ner Chanukah, it's only Shas Nisim. The Rishonim point out that you only say the Berachas Haroa if not only you haven't lit Ner Chanukah, but you're not going to light Ner Chanukah that day. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. They're not so sure about that. It could be that if you haven't yet lit Ner Chanukah, even though you're going to, that maybe there is a chiv of Berachas Haroa. That's what they say. I think that the Brisker Rav, on his way home from Mariv, would only look down. He wouldn't, because he was afraid that to be Roa Ner Chanukah, then he'd be nichnas into that discussion in the Rishonim, even though we paskin that you don't say a bracha if you're going to light Ner Chanukah, but the Brisker Rav tried to be machmir for everything. So my mevarich, what bracha do you say? Baruch Hashem Kesher Mitzvot Zivanu Lahaduk Ner Chanukah VeHechan Zivanu. How can you say the word Vitzivanu to light Ner Chanukah? It's a mitzvah midrabanan. Mi lo sasur, because there's an isra in the Torah of lo sasur. You're not allowed to veer from what the rabbanan say. So that's enough of a Vitzivanu. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha. It's from the pasuk Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masna Behedya Amar Av Kol Shiva Mitzvah Zulav. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak said Beferish that Kol Shiva we say a bracha on Lulav. What's the machlokas over here? Whether it's Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha or whether it's Losasur? So the Sfasemis writes, it could be that the Amoraim are arguing in the machlokas Rambam Ramban whether Losasur includes that which the Chachamim are Mefarish, the Pesukei Torah, or even the Takanos and the Siyagim, that they're Mechadesh on their own. Rav Nachman Yitzchak holds that you can't learn from Lo Sasur to Ner Chanukah because it's not a perish to the Torah, it's only a Takana Mechudeshes, and that may not be included in Lo Sasur. Maybe only when the Chachamim Mefarish the Torah, that's included in Lo Sasur, but Takanos, new Takanos that have nothing to do with what it says in the Torah, maybe are not included in Lo Sasur, and that's why he has to come up with the Shal Avicha V'Yagedcha. Tan Rabban, also Sukkah La'atzmo. If a person says makes a sukkah for himself, Omer Baruch Shechianu. So he says, a Shechianu. Nichnas Leishevah, he goes in to sit in the sukkah, Omer Baruch HaShekidushanu. Haisa Asuya Va'omedes, if the sukkah was there and staying, Im Yachal Chadish Badavar Mivarech. If you're able to do something to it, to be Mechadish, something in the sukkah, so that you say a bracha. Im Lav, otherwise, Likishanis Leishevah Mivarech Shtayim. Otherwise, when you go to sit in the sukkah, you should make two brachas. You should make say a Shechianu and a Leishev Besukkah. So, Amar Rav Ashi, Chazinu Leid Rav Kana, Dekamar Lulu Kulu Akasa De Kedusha. That we saw that no matter how it happened, no matter how it came about, whether he built his own sukkah or not, Rav Kahana would always say all of the brachas over the kiddush. That together, and that's our minhag. We don't say any brachas when we build the sukkah. We just say all the brachas shachianu included over the kiddush. And we have in mind that the shachianu should go on the asiyas hasukkah as well, not only on the yom tov, but also on the asiyas hasukkah. So we say shachianu, and it's all together on the kiddush. Tar Rabban, hayil fun of mitzvahs. Nafkamina would be the fact that there's shachianu and the asiyas hasukkah is, let's say your first night of sukkah is you're in somebody else's sukkah. So you're saying a shachianu on the yom on the first night, but what about that on the second day, right? So let's assume an Eretz Yisrael, but it's not leaving out the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos issue. So you're going to your sukkah, but it's the first time that you're, or the first lunch, let's say. So you haven't yet said a shachianu on your asiyas sukkah. So if the asiyas sukkah itself requires shachianu, then you should have to say a shachianu at that point on the asiyas sukkah. Tarabar, how you find a mitzvah harbe? Omer bracha shachianu mitzvah tzvanu ala mitzvah. If you have a bunch of mitzvahs in front of you, make one catch-all bracha. And that encapsulates all the mitzvahs that you have in front of you. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the way we say brachas. We say a bracha on each and every mitzvah. Each one is chashuv. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Each mitzvah gets its own bracha. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that you have to be makbit to say a separate bracha for each mitzvah? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, that we should bless Hashem each and every day. Chibi Yom Mivarech Naso, Balayla Ein Mivarech Naso. Do we only bless Hashem during the day and not at night? Ela Balomer Lecha B'chol Yom Yom Tein Lo Me'ein Berchosav. No, it's telling us that each day you give an appropriate bracha for what that day is, meaning for the things that are happening that day. So Achanami B'chol Dover Dover V'Dover Tein Lo Me'ein Berchosav. For each situation that you encounter, each mitzvah that you encounter, you have a mitzvah, a bracha that's modified for that occasion, that's appropriate for that occasion. That the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than Midas Bas of Adam. Why are we quoting this right now? So this is Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Tam, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. And we just quoted on Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Tam, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa about paskening like Rabbi Yehuda and about why it is that you say brach each and every day. So it's just because of the author that we're quoting this statement. So you see that Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than Midas Bas of Adam in the sense that Midas Bas of Adam kli rekan machzik, malei ena machzik. Over here by Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Bas of Adam, what we mean is the physical world and the spiritual world. In the physical world, if you have an empty kli, so then it can hold things in it. But if you have a full kli, it can't hold anything in it because it's already full. Avol Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when it comes to ruchnius, it doesn't work that way. Malei machzik, reikon eino machzik. Only if a person is already full of Torah and Yerushalayim and everything else, then he could hold even more Torah. His capacity to receive even more is greater. Whereas if he's empty, if he has very little Torah, so his capacity to, if a person doesn't know Aleph Beis, try to learn a daf with them. They're not going to be able to learn a daf. They can only receive very little. Their kalim to receive are very, very tiny. But a person is already a baki in Shas, so you could go through massive amounts of material in a very short amount of time. He's able to receive so much more. Shenemar, v'haya im shamoa tishma. Im shamoa tishma, v'im lav lo tishma. If you've already heard, then you're ready to hear. But if you haven't already heard, then you're not ready to hear. Another interpretation of Mishma Tishma is that if you're willing to chazer, if you go over that which you've already learned, then you'll be more ready to learn new material. But if you turn away from that which you've already learned and you're not constantly chazering, so then it's going to be hard to learn new material. Meaning the way the Torah works is that you get a sense of how things work and what the klalim are, and by learning and retaining large chunks of Torah. And therefore, you're going to be able to pick up new material much easier. But if you learn things and then just totally forgot them and didn't pick up what the klalim are, didn't pick up what the basic rules and the basic ideas are, so if you don't have klalim to fit the new limud into, it's very hard to pick up on a new limud. Then the Mishnah said that from the children's hands they would, Machlokes Rashi tells us that it means from the children's hands, or right away the children themselves would do this. But bottom line is someone's eating an esrog on the seventh day of Sukkot in our Mishnah. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, esrog b'shvi Asr b'shmini mutter. On the seventh day, you're still not allowed, on Hoshana Rabbi, you're still not allowed to get hana from your esrog. But on the eighth day, it's mutter. You're allowed to eat your esrog on shmini atzeres. Sukkah afil b'shmini asura, but sukkah remains asr even on shmini. Reish Lakish amar esrog afil b'shmini nami mutter. And Reish Lakish says, no, even on Hoshana Rabbi, you could already get hana. You could already eat your esrog. So what is this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you're allowed to get hana from your esrog on Hoshana Rabba? So mar savar le mitzvasa is katzai, umar savar le kuliyama is katzai. Very simple. What is the muktzah? Is the muktzah only kolzman that you needed for the mitzvah? So as soon as you finish the mitzvah on Hoshana Rabba, it's over, so now you can eat it. Or is it, no, it's for every day on which you're going to do the mitzvah. So since you're going to do the mitzvah of Esrog on Hoshana Rabba, so for that entire day of Hoshana Rabba, it's muktzah. So that's the whole machlokas. Esrog Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan. Right, Reish Lakish is the one that said that that Esrog is mutter even b'shvi'i. So he challenges Rabbi Yochanan and says in our Mishnah, Miat Tinoka Shamtel Sulveil Velkon Esrogan, my love, who had in the Gedolim. It says that the children's Esrogim got eaten on Hoshana Rabba, so apparently you're allowed to get enough from it. And probably the adults' Esrogim was the same. Says Marlo, Tinoka Stafka. No, the point is, it was only the Tinoka's Esrogim, but the adults' Esrogim, they wouldn't do this because you're not allowed to. Ikada Amri, another version of this conversation, is that Esrogim Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that Rabbi Yochanan brought our Mishnah as a raya against Reish Lakish in the other direction, that Miad Hatinoko's Shamtel Sulveil that was only the children's esrogim. You see, Beferish in the Mishnah was only the children's esrogim. Sounds like the adults' esrogim you were not allowed to eat on Hoshana Rabba. Who I didn't feel the gedolim. Nah, the answer is maybe even the gedolim's esrogim. But who are the kinds of people that are going to get all excitable and do these kinds of things, these celebratory acts of taking a bite out of the restaurant? That's a child type of thing to do. So that's why we speak about the more common case. But really, it could have been done with the adults of Sragam as well. Amrle Rav Papala Abayi, the Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna Sukkah, Maishna Esrog. Why does Rabbi Yochanan distinguish between a Sukkah and an Esrog? So Amrle Sukkah, the Chazil Ben Ashmashos, the Yisramile Sudasa, Boy Mesa Begava, Mechel Begava, is Katzayil Ben Ashmashos. That in Sukkah, on Hoshana Rabba, let's say Hoshana Rabba going into Shmini Atzeres, you want to have a meal during that Ben Ashmashos. You got to go to the Sukkah because it still might be Hoshana Rabba. So the Sukkah remains Mukta for the duration of Ben Ashmashos. Umigat is Katzayil Ben Ashmashos, Katzayil Kulim Yom Deshmini. And once it's Muktzah for Ben Ashmashos, it remains Muktzah for the entire eighth day as well, for Shmini Atzeres as well. And that's why Sukkah remains Muktzah one extra day. But Esrog Dilchazil Ben Ashmashos, but an Esrog on that Ben Ashmashos going into Shmini Atzeres, if you wanted to take Esrog, you're not allowed to, right? It's you don't take Esrog in Shmini Atzeres. So Lovas Katzayil Ben Ashmashos, so it's not Huktzah Ben Ashmashos, so it's Katzayil Kul Yom Deshmini. And therefore it doesn't become Muktzah for the entire eighth day. This is why even in Chutzlaritz, where we do sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but there is a difference that in Chutzlaritz we sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but we don't say a bracha. So that's why we don't make early Yontif on Shmini Atzeres, because if you're going to make early Yontif, you're going to go into the Sukkah Ben Ashmashos, now you can have a suffix whether you say a bracha or not. And if you have the practice, if you're in Eretz Yisrael or you're a chassid and you don't sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, same issue. You can have the issue of whether you sit in Sukkah or not. And that's why we dafka wait until nighttime on Shmini Atzeres to go into the Sukkah. That's why there's always a shir between Milchamarev or something on Shmini Atzeres night. Levi says Esrog is Aser even on the eighth day, even on Shmini Atzeres. Avuah de Shmuel Amar Esrog b'Shvi'i Aser b'Shmini Mutter. And Avuah de Shmuel says, no, it's only Aser on Hoshana Rabba. On Shmini Atzeres, the Esrog is Mutter. But then, come Avuah de Shmuel b'Shitase de Levi. Even though Avuah de Shmuel paskin that you're allowed to eat your Esrog on Shmini Atzeres, he ended up following the Shita of Levi that you're not allowed to. Come Rabbi Zeira b'Shitase de Avuah de Shmuel. But Rabbi Zeira followed Avuah de Shmuel Shita, so it's like confusing. Each one had a shita, but then they didn't follow their own shita, so they followed the other one's shita. Damar Rabbi Zeira, Esrog shenifsla, asalocha kol shiva. The Rabbi Zeira says, if an Esrog became pasul, still you're not allowed to eat it for all 7 days. So that's the first comment of Rabbi Zeira, the first of three statements of Rabbi Zeira that we're going to be quoting. That's the only one that l'chora has anything to do with our sugya. But once we mention Rabbi Zeira, so we'll mention another two things that Rabbi Zeira says. One of them having to do with sukkahs in general, with the dalaminim in general, and the other one not seeming to have to do with it. V'amar Rabbi Zeira, lo lukni inish hoshana liyanuka b'yamatova kama, that a person should not be makna his lulav to his child before he's been yotzei in the mitzvah on the first day of Yontif. My time, Because a child has the capacity to be kone, but does not have the capacity to be makne back to you. I mean, the halacha is that a child could even be kone on a daraisa level when there's a das acheres makne, when someone is being makne to the child. So you're going to give the esrog to the child. He's going to be kone, it's going to be his, but he doesn't have the capacity to be makne back to you, and therefore you're not going to have lachem. You're not going to be able to do the mitzvah. You're stuck enough to of shena shalom, and it will turn out that you're being yotze with a lulav that's not yours. Now there is a machlokas aposkim. If a katan could be yotze with the lulav that's not shalo on Yom Tov Rishon, so machlokas magen Avraham mishnah brura, whether if you can just tell the katan to use the lulav and not have in mind to be makna to him, so it's not a das acheres makna. So he's using a lulav that's not his. So machlokas Ramesha points out in the tshuva, in Ramesha's tshuva about co-education, whether you're allowed to have a mixed boys and girls class. Ramesha says that the machlokas magen, so Ramesha talks about only before there's the yetzer hara, when children are very young. So he says it's tali and not machlokas magen Avraham in mishnah brura about lulav biyom rishon. It's you know, Ramesha knew how to pull things out. So he said because the machlokas is a yisodah stick of machlokas. What is the mitzvah of chinuch? Is the mitzvah of chinuch to do the mitzvah right now fully, meaning as if you were an adult, or is the mitzvah of chinuch to train you in a way where when you're an adult you'll do the mitzvah and you'll be so if it's what you are right now, so then it has to be shalom of the katan, he has to own it. But if it's just to train him, and he doesn't know the difference, shalom, not shalom, he's just going to get used to doing the mitzvah, so when he's an adult, he'll do it right. So he says when it comes to co-education, it's the opposite, that if it's to do it right now, as you know, what your mitzvah is, so he's got no yetzer hara, so it's no problem for the kid to be hanging around with girls all day, because he's got no yetzer hara yet, he's 6 years old, it's not a problem. But if it's to train him for how he's going to behave when he's an adult, so then hopefully he's not going to be doing that anymore when he's an adult. And then one more comment of Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir, l'leim inishli yinuka, a person should not say to a child, that you're going to give him something and then not follow through and give it to him. Mishum da'asi lagmuri shikra, because you're going to teach him to lie. Shnemer limdu l'shonim davar sheker, that you're teaching him to do sheker. The Acharon discussed, why isn't it just also because you're lying? Don't forget about teaching him to lie. You're lying to him when you do that, but that's a discussion the Acharon about Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.
Shkoyas, thank you.